So wonderful to sing of our hope of living in glory by and by. And it's also wonderful to realize that we live in the glory of His presence even as we are here upon earth. It's good to see everyone this morning. Good to see those that have been traveling back with us. You were missed. We missed you a lot. I couldn't help but think this morning as I was to myself rejoicing for those who have returned from their travels, how that wouldn't it be nice if all of us were here the same Sunday without anybody traveling or anybody sick. It seems like there's always some who are out, but as much as we rejoice when we see people coming back, I was just thinking, boy, it'd be great if everybody could be here at least one Sunday, you would think. It'd be great. Well, we've come to a pretty special day today. Today is the last Sunday of 2019, last Sunday of this decade. Everything starts all over again in just a few days. And I can't help but, as I reflect upon this time of the year and people make resolutions and we've made resolutions last year and the year before that and all that. And I said, well, I did okay for a while. And sometimes I think, well, maybe I just won't make any resolutions and then it'll be okay. No, resolutions are good. And failing to keep a resolution is good, too, because you learn from your mistakes and your downfalls and resolve to do better. And so I'm not going to have anything really new and earth-shattering for you this morning, but I want us to be reminded of some things and renew some commitments. I want us to be aware of the fact that this religion that we practice is a daily religion. Some people practice a Sunday go-to-meeting religion, but the fact of the matter is that, and of course there are things that we do on Sunday that we don't do any other day of the week. The observance of the Lord's Supper, the contribution of our means to financially support the Lord's work. Those are things that are reserved only for the first day of the week. But the religion that we practice is a religion that is to be an everyday type of religion. And that has always been the case. The shadow of our faith, the Mosaic law, was a shadow of what we practice today, what indicated that we are to serve God on a daily basis. Exodus chapter 29 and verses 38 and 39 says, now this is what you shall offer on the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. It was day by day, every day, continually. Exodus chapter 30 and verses 7 through 8, it says, Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning. When he tends to the lamps, he shall burn the incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. These were a shadow. These were a type. But the shadow and the type indicated that it was to be daily, that our commitment to Him, the religion that we practice, is to be a daily religion. Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A living sacrifice implies a daily lifestyle. Every day, the life that we live is committed to glorifying God. There's a passage in the Old Testament, Psalm 145 and verses 1 through 4. I think David expresses this here, and this is a wonderful psalm. I'd encourage you to read it and meditate on it. It's rather lengthy, and so that's why we're not going to read the whole thing today. But notice he says, I extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and declare your mighty acts. Every day I will bless you. Every day I will give you the praise and the honor and the glory. I will thank you. I will declare your name and your ways before others every day. So what does a daily religion involve? Well, first of all, I believe it requires daily Bible study. We can't know how to live before God without him telling us how he would have us to live before him. Jesus told us to search the scriptures. Therein, we would find the answers to the things that we were looking for. Paul taught Timothy to study, to show yourself approved unto God. The noble Bereans were examining the scriptures daily. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. We need our daily spiritual bread. Now, there might be a lot of us who, part of our resolutions, New Year's resolutions, I'm going to eat less and exercise more. That's a good one. We've all been eating more the last couple of weeks because of the holidays and so forth, and so we're ready to eat less. But here's the fact of the matter. Every one of us want to eat every day, often more than once a day. And our desire for the spiritual nourishment is to be as great, if not exceeding, our desire for our physical nourishment. In Matthew 4 and verse 4, Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." As he was answering Satan. Here's the point I want us to notice here. And it's a point that was made as it was originally written, and it's a point as was made as Jesus is quoting it here, that man does live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How important then is this book? How important is it for us if man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and if the scriptures are breathed of God, then every word in the scripture is from God. You and I spiritually live by every one of these words. Have you read them? Are you familiar with them? Are there parts of it that you've never read? Man lives by every word of God. Matthew 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Are you hungering and thirsting after the righteousness that God has revealed to us in his word? 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." We cannot grow in grace or favor with God and knowledge of our Lord without studying and knowing his word. In the past several years, we've talked about a daily Bible reading program, program through the New Testament that will have you read the entire New Testament in 3 months. You could read the New Testament 4 times in 1 year. We also have a daily Bible reading program that will take you through the entire Bible, Genesis through Revelation, in 1 year. If you paid attention to your emailing, if you received the emails from Larry, that your bulletin comes in, news and notes comes in, there was also an attachment there of the latest directory of our membership and phone numbers and all of that type of thing. But there's also both of those reading programs, Bible reading programs of the New Testament and of the entire Bible. Also, if you'll pay attention to the bulletin that above the front page article, every week there will be the readings for every day of the week, that coming week. What, just to remind you, in case you lost your paper someplace. But probably many of us have started on that and maybe fell off of it. But I encourage you with every ounce of encouragement that I have. If there is one resolution that you will renew yourself to this coming year and this coming decade, is to read the Bible every day. And read it with a system to it. I would encourage you to do both of those Bible readings. You know, do the Genesis through Revelation Bible reading and the New Testament Bible reading. You'll read through the entire Bible once throughout the year, and you'll read the New Testament four times in a year. We have time to do that. We just need to set aside the time to do that. We need to put first things first and realize that we need to indeed hunger and thirst after righteousness. We need to hunger and thirst after a knowledge of God's revealed righteousness so that we can be practicing that righteousness in our lives. A daily religion also involves daily prayer. Incense was offered to the Lord daily in the Mosaic Law, Exodus 30 and verses 7 through 8. And, of course, that incense was a type or a shadow of prayer, we learn from Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. Jesus taught us to pray, as we noticed earlier, for our daily bread, Luke 11 and verse 3. Daily bread implies daily needs for which we should offer daily prayer. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, very comforting passage of scripture to me, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Be anxious for nothing. You could just as correctly translate this, don't worry about anything. Have you ever known anything to get better because you worried about it? Not one single thing. Do you have concerns about things? Certainly, every single one of us have concerns about things. But we can't worry about it. Worrying will only make it worse. God knows that there are things that we are concerned about, but don't worry about it. But the things that you are concerned about, in everything, by prayer and supplication. Supplication is prayer, but it is an intensified form of prayer. It's continually in prayer and continually before the Lord and continually pouring your heart out before the Lord. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request, let your concerns, let those things that are on your heart and on your mind, let those things be known to God. And as you're presenting those things to God, don't wait to see the answer. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Before you ever see the answer, thank God for the answer. Be patient and wait and see what the answer of the Lord is going to be. But be thankful and hopeful that you have had the opportunity to present your concern before Almighty God, with whom nothing is impossible. And if it's to His praise and to His honor and to His glory, we can pray with confidence, knowing that we will have those things. Daily needs includes our need to praise and thank God daily. Don't ever forget to thank God and to praise God for who He is. Psalm 88 and verse 9 says, "Lord, I have called daily upon You. I have stretched out my hands to you. Psalm 55 and verse 17 says, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. We cannot pray, thy will be done, without knowing what his will is to be done. And that's where daily Bible reading comes in, and daily study of God's word and daily meditating on God's word comes in. Evening, morning, and at noon, I will pray. Do you? If these were the shadow of the image that you and I live in, then is this asking too much of us? Do we pray continually to God? I can say that I'm kind of always in a frame of mind of prayer. Always. Every moment that I'm awake, and even sometimes when I'm asleep. But nevertheless, we set aside certain times to actually articulate those thoughts that are in our mind and that we are meditating on, and in conversation with God throughout the day. There's special times throughout the day that we stop and take a moment and actually articulate those things before God. Daily religion also involves daily evangelism. Jesus said, I sat daily with you teaching. Matthew 26 and verse 55. The early church multiplied because of daily evangelism. Acts chapter 2 and verses 46 through 47, it says, they were continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What they were doing in the temple was different than what they were doing from house to house. In the temple, they were teaching. And the result of that daily teaching was that the Lord was adding to the church daily those who were being saved. Acts 5 and verse 22, or verse 42, it says, daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Daily they were evangelizing. They were telling others about Christ, telling others about how to come into Christ, telling others about how to be saved. While they were making a living, they were evangelizing. In spite of being ordered not to teach in the name of Jesus, they were evangelizing daily. In spite of being scattered abroad, Acts chapter 8, they went everywhere preaching the word. In spite of the persecution that arose against them because they had been preaching and living this daily religion, they went everywhere preaching, telling others to live this daily religion. In Acts 20 and verse 31, it says, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years, Paul here speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Don't forget what I did, Paul said. Don't forget how important this is. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing that there's a judgment day coming, that your son, your daughter, your mother, your father, your friend, your neighbor, the person you're standing in line with, that they're going to stand before God in judgment. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We encourage people to think about their soul. to think about that great day. And we tell them about Jesus and salvation that is found in Him, to let Him pay the price of death for their sin. Resolve to try to bring somebody to the Lord, to talk to somebody about, at least get them to think about their soul and about a day of judgment every day. Every day. People that you work with. Total strangers. Invite them to Bible study and to worship. Invite them to have a Bible study with you. Talk to them about the Lord as natural as you would talk to them about the weather. And everybody talks about the weather, don't they? Everybody talks about the trivial things of life. But we need to talk about the most important things of life as if they are just as common as these trivial things. It's important that everybody be thinking about it. And if we don't get people to thinking about it, who is going to? If we don't tell people the truth, who will? Daily religion also involves a daily exhortation of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Christians are to exhort one another daily, as it is called today. To exhort means to warn, to encourage. We are to attempt to recover a brother or sister who has gone astray. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." It happens. People are overcome and overtaken in their trespasses. And they'll try to excuse and justify their trespasses today, just as they did in times past. But those of us who are spiritual need to attempt to restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, knowing that we're susceptible to the same temptations. Too often, a weak or erring brother or sister is left to sink or swim when we are to be our brother's lifeguard. Probably not too many of you have been lifeguards. I've been trained to be a lifeguard. I think I served as a lifeguard for a little bit of time. You take on a certain sense of responsibility in that position. Do you consider yourself a lifeguard of your brother and sister in Christ? As you look out on the pool of the congregation, and as they come through the doors for Bible study and for worship and sit in their pews, do you consider yourself their lifeguard? Watching out for them, caring for them. If they're overtaken, will you say something to them to recover them? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14, "We exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." Not everybody is overtaken in a fault. Some are just weak. Some are faint-hearted. Some need to be comforted. We need to exhort one another daily. You need to exhort one another daily. I need to exhort one another daily. And each of us right now, sitting in our pews this morning, need to be saying, "I need to exhort my brother and sister daily. I need to be thinking about my brothers and sisters in Christ more than I'm even thinking about myself." Have you been doing that? Can you resolve to do that? That's part of true daily religion. And if we're not doing that, we've got some work to do. Daily religion also involves daily cross-bearing. Jesus said that anyone who follows Him must take up their cross daily. Luke 9 and verse 23. He made the way for us through His suffering. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 says we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. That ultimate suffering, the ultimate place of his suffering, was on the cross. We are to take up our cross daily. There's a sense of suffering that we're going to experience as we follow Christ. Hebrews 5 and verse 8 says, though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. The things which Jesus suffered were suffered at the hands of sinful men. The things that we suffer may also be at the hands of sinful men. We will experience persecution, those who live godly in Christ Jesus. But most of the things that you and I suffer are the sufferings of saying no to the pleasures of sin, saying no to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, saying no to self to elevate Christ in our life. That takes strength, takes commitment, just as we see with Jesus. It takes obedience. God's will before my will. We love to sing about the old rugged cross, but do we love to bear it? We sang this morning about living in the shadow of the cross. But we dare not make the cross an idol. Remember the children of Israel as they sinned before God, complained before God, and God sent serpents among them, and many of them died, and they were told, Moses was told to make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and he did. And everyone who looked upon that serpent was healed of their bites and lived. We're told that later on that, you know, they didn't get rid of that. They kept it around. They actually made an idol out of that. Kind of lived in the shadow of that serpent. I think sometimes we have a tendency to do that with the cross. We think that, you know, we talk about the cross and about Jesus on the cross. Well, we don't talk much about bearing our own cross. We glory in the cross that he was nailed to. But do we glory in the fact that we bear our cross for his glory? Jesus said, he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. What's he saying there? He's saying, you need to crucify yourself. You need to put yourself to death. In fact, Paul would say that. It's no longer I who lives. Christ lives in me. The life I once lived, I've crucified that life. And I'm alive in Christ. If we hope to follow him to glory, we must be willing to endure cross-bearing. And 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And 2 Timothy 2 and verses 11 through 12 says, this is a faithful saying. This is a trustworthy saying. You can count on this. You can depend on this. You can trust in this. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. Here's the question. Have you died with him? Have you put yourself to death to live with him? If we endure, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. Do not be ashamed of me, he said, in front of this wicked and adulterous generation. A daily religion produces daily results. If we practice these things daily, we're going to see daily results. You know, it's kind of like that exercise program you're talking about in your physical body, if you start doing that, you'll see daily results in your physical body. Well, if you start doing these things we've talked about this morning, you'll see daily results spiritually in your life. In apostolic times, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved because they had been continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and they were continuing daily in the temple teaching and evangelizing, and the Lord added to the church to save daily those who were being saved. The churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily, Acts chapter 16 and verse 5, because they were doing these daily things. They were practicing this daily religion. The everyday religion will bring forth daily results in your life and in the life of those who are around you. You'll see changes in your life spiritually. You'll see changes in the life of your spouse, and your spouse will see those changes in you. You'll see changes in your children, and your children will see the changes in you. You'll see changes in your friends, and maybe the people who are your friends, but your friends will see changes in you, and you'll find out whether they're true friends or not, as to whether they continue to be a friend or not. You'll see changes in your workers around you, and your workers around you will see changes in you. The way you treat others will be evident to them and will have an influence upon them. And your students, your fellow students, many of you are teachers, you'll see changes in your students. And those of you who are students will see changes in your fellow students, and they'll see the changes in you too. Daily religion produces daily results. If we wonder why we're not growing spiritually, it's because we're not planting daily. You can't reap if you don't sow. We need to sow these words of God in our heart. We need to pray, and we need to be putting these words to work in our life. The gospel is still the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Are you letting it work every day in your life? You know, I don't know. Some of you here have never obeyed the gospel, but you're at an age that you should have. You're in an age that you know that you stand before God guilty of your sin. And you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And He's the Savior of mankind. He paid the price of death for your sin. But you as yet have not been baptized for the remission of your sins. As we leave this year behind us, let me encourage you to leave your sins behind too. Wash them in the blood of Christ and rise to walk with Him in newness of life. And practice this daily religion full of hope. Before this lesson, we talked about the hope of living in the glory of the Lord. That hope can be validated for you today. If you'll just turn from yourself and turn to Christ, to walk with Him, to live for Him, to live with Him daily, and let Him be seen in your life daily. Confess Him as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and walk with Him, live with Him in newness of life. If you're here today and you're a child of God and you know you're out of favor with God, I can't think of a better Sunday of the year than this Sunday, today, right now, to make things right with God and to leave this place rejoicing. Can we pray with you and for you? If so, we'd encourage you to let it be known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.